The sun hadn't yet risen, but the sky was formally brooding pledges of a beautiful morning. The horizon over the tea auditoriums of Silhet was flushing with tinges of orange and pink, wrapped gently in the cool grasp of dawn mist. Catcalls fluttered lifelessly through the trees, and a soft breath carried the scent of dew, soaked earth and wildflowers. Ion stood alone at the edge of the precipice, overlooking the vale. His camera hung from his neck, forgotten for the moment, as he simply stood there, silent, still, thoughtful. This was his escape. Every many months, when the weight of megacity life came too heavy, he fled to the hills where he'd spent numerous nonage summers. But this morning felt different. There was a restlessness inside him, not soothed indeed by the beauty of nature. He couldn't name it. All he knew was that commodity was missing. He was about to turn down when he heard the crunch of soft step behind him. He turned artificially and saw her. She was then dressed like a sightseer. No camera, no pack, no sun hat. Just a simple long accordion scarf wrapped around her shoulders, her dark hair caught in a loose plait that danced in the wind. She looked youthful, perhaps mid-twenties, but carried an old soul in her eyes. They looked at each other, half curious, partial startled, like non-natives accidentally meeting in a dream. "I didn't suppose anyone differently came than this early," Ion said eventually, his voice gentle. The woman smiled noiselessly. "Neither did I." There was a long pause. No bone moved. "I come then to watch the daylight," she said after a moment. "It reminds me that no matter how dark the night, light always returns." Ion jounced, strangely moved by her words. "I'm Ion," he offered. "Meher," she replied. They shook hands, and he noticed her hand was cold. She didn't pull down snappily, and neither did he. They stood side by side, quietly watching as the sun eventually browsed over the horizon. Gold swamped the sky, washing over the herbage of the deans, the tips of the trees, the edges of their skin. It was the kind of moment that didn't need words. But curiosity brewed in Ion's heart. "Do you live hard?" Meher jounced, a little further down the pitch. "In the ville, I help at the original academy and the tea estate clinic. My parents run a homestay." "That's inconceivable," he said, authentically surprised. "I've been visiting this area since I was a sprat, but I no way met anyone like you." "I'm not generally out talking to non-natives," Meher said with a soft laugh. "But you look misplaced." Ion blinked. "Lost." She smiled but didn't explain. Before he could press further, she said, "Come down to our home for breakfast. We've fresh parathas and tea you will lament it." He dithered. "Is in it too beforehand to put? You would ain't be assessing," she intruded. "My mama will feed you like her own son." Ion chortled. "Well, I see I ain't argue with food." They walked down together through winding paths adjoined by tea backwoods and blooming orchids. Ion set up himself stealing ganders at Meher, intrigued not only by her beauty, but by the calm strength in the way she carried herself. The house was a lovely rustic structure nestled between trees and unfolding vines. A drinking canine barked formally and ran to hail Meher before circling Ion with conservative curiosity. Outside, the scent of cardamom, frying dough, and storming tea filled the air. Meher's mama was everything she promised, warm, loving, and overjoyed to have a guest. She sat Ion down and filled his plate endlessly. Her father, a quiet man with kind eyes, jounced admiringly at everything Ion said. Meher watched it all with a small, knowing smile. After breakfast, as Meher's parents excused themselves to prepare for the day, Ion and Meher sat outdoors on a bamboo bench under the shade of a guava tree. "I feel like I've stumbled into another world," he said. Meher lifted her head. "Perhaps it's the world you demanded to find." He looked at her. "Do you always talk like that?"
"Like what?"
"Like a minstrel." She sighed, smiling. "My grandmother was one. Perhaps some of it passed down." A moment of silence passed. "What brought you then, Ion?" she asked still. "Really?" He didn't answer right down. "Also, I used to be a shooter. Traveled the world. City to megacity. Also, I started doing brand work, fashion, announcements. It paid well. But nearly along the way, I lost what I loved about photography. Now it's just noise. Bright lights and concave faces." Meher heeded precisely. And now you're searching for the soul again? He met her eyes. I suppose so. She stood up suddenly. Come with me? He followed without question. She took him to a bitsy classroom near the reverse of the ville, where children were gathered, their eyes bright with mischief and wonder. Meher walked by, and the noise quieted. The children adored her. She introduced Ayan as a guest from the megacity and asked him to partake a story. Nervous at first, Ayan began telling him about his peregrination, about timbers in Africa, evenings in Venice, and mammoths in Sri Lanka. He showed them filmland on his camera, and their eyes widened in delight. For the first time in a long time, Ayan felt the joy of his art again, not in awards, not in pollutants or followers, but in the hoarse laugh of children. After the assignment, Meher and Ayan walked along the sluice. You do realize, he said, you've given me more in one day than I've felt in times. Meher looked at him still. Perhaps that's what sons are for, to remind us of what we've forgotten. He goggled at her, caught in the gleam of her simplicity and wisdom. Will I see you again hereafter? He asked. Meher smiled, a soft flicker in her eyes. If you rise before the sun, perhaps. The rain came down heavy that evening. Ayan stood at the edge of the gallery, watching the sky pour over the hills, the tea leaves glistering with tableware driblets. Outside, Meher's mama was humming while preparing regale, and her father sat still reading the review by a fluttering beacon. But Meher wasn't there. After their moment on the hill before, she had excused herself and walked back to the academy. She demanded space, time to breathe, to suppose. Ayan hadn't said anything further. He'd seen the storm brewing in her eyes indeed before the shadows had gathered in the sky. He didn't know if it was about him or about the world they came from. Meanwhile, Meher sat alone in the empty classroom, hearkening to the meter of rain on the drum roof. She gripped her grandmother's poetry journal, the old runners softened by age. She opened it to a line she had read 100 times. The heart is in hysterical storms, only of silence. Was this silence? Would she go let the moment pass? Let Ayan walk down? Let her heart remain guarded? She closed the book and stood. Her mind had made its decision long before her heart had caught up. Ayan was still standing outdoors when he saw her figure appear in the rain. Soaked, breathless, but determined, he ran out into the rain, without allowing. Meher, he cried, you're drenched. Her mind had made its decision long before her heart had caught up. Ayan was still standing outdoors when he saw her figure appear in the rain. Soaked, breathless, but determined, he ran out into the rain, without allowing. Meher, he cried, you're drenched. So are you, she replied with a smile. They both laughed. I allowed you demanded space, he said gently. I did, she replied, to figure out if I was being stalwart or just spooked. And what did you decide? Meher looked up at him, rainwater running down her face like gashes. I've been spooked ahead, but this time I want to be stalwart. He held her aspect. Also, let me ask you formally, duly, will you come with me? Her breath caught. To Dhaka, she rumored. To wherever life takes us, he replied. We don't need to rush. But I want us to try. Together, we'll make commodity real, not just chase moments, but live them. She goggled at him, heart thudding. The rain danced around them like music. The hills behind were veiled in mist, the world fading into wimpiness. Eventually, she jounced. Yes. Ayan let out a breath he hadn't realized he was holding. He stepped closer, gently brushing a beachfront of hair from her impertinence. Can I kiss you? He asked vocally. She smiled. Only if it's for real. It always was. Their lips met, laggardly, sure and sacred. It wasn't just a capstone of craving. It was a pledge. A pledge made beneath thunderclouds and starlight, in the hills where dreams met reality. 6 months latterly, the cafe in Dhaka was small but beautiful, filled with sun, green shops, and the aroma of fresh coffee. Ayan's photos lined the walls, smiling ville children, sons over tea fields, quiet moments between non-natives and suckers. At a table by the window sat Meher, belting chai and reading her grandmother's poetry, now published in a book they co-designed. Ayan came in from the reverse room, camera slung around his neck. We've a full booking for coming month's Photography Factory, he said. kissing her impertinence. And the Academy in Silhet posted, she replied, they want to mate with us for the vil art and lyre design. They looked at each other, a life they had erected, seed by seed, step by step. You know, Meher said, closing her book, it's nearly daylight. Ayan raised an eyebrow. So, she stood and extended her hand. Let's go to the roof. They climbed up together. The sky had just begun to glow. Orange melted into rose, light creeping gently over the sleeping megacity. They stood hand in hand, watching the world wake. It was at the hills this time, or the echo of birdsong over tea fields. But the feeling was the same, because daylight didn't just belong to one place. It belonged to those who believed in alternate chances, in new onsets, in love that rose like the sun, every day, no matter the night that came ahead. So are you, she replied with a smile. They both laughed. I allowed you demanded space, he said gently. I did, she replied, to figure out if I was being stalwart or just spooked. And what did you decide? Meher looked up at him, rainwater running down her face like gashes. I've been spooked ahead, but this time I want to be stalwart. He held her aspect. Also, let me ask you formally, Dooley, will you come with me? Her breath caught. To Dhaka, she rumored. To wherever life takes us, he replied. We don't need to rush. But I want us to try. Together, we'll make commodity real, not just chase moments, but live them. She goggled at him, heart thudding. The rain danced around them like music. The hills behind were veiled in mist, the world fading into wimpiness. Eventually, she jounced. Yes. Ayan let out a breath he hadn't realized he was holding. He stepped closer, gently brushing a beachfront of hair from her impertinence. Can I kiss you? He asked vocally. She smiled. Only if it's for real. It always was. Their lips met laggardly, sure and sacred. It wasn't just the capstone of craving. It was a pledge. A pledge made beneath thunderclouds and starlight, in the hills where dreams met reality. 6 months latterly, the cafe in Dhaka was small but beautiful, filled with sun, green shops, and the aroma of fresh coffee. Ayan's photos lined the walls, smiling vil children. Suns over tea fields, quiet moments between non-natives and suckers. At a table by the window sat Meher, belting chai and reading her grandmother's poetry, now published in a book they co-designed. Ayan came in from the reverse room, camera slung around his neck. We've a full booking for coming month's photography factory, he said, kissing her impertinence. And the Academy in Silhet posted, she replied. They want to mate with us for the vil art and lyre design. They looked at each other, a life they had erected, seed by seed, step by step. You know, Meher said, closing her book, it's nearly daylight. Ayan raised an eyebrow. So, she stood and extended her hand. Let's go to the roof. They climbed up together. The sky had just begun to glow. Orange melted into rose, light creeping gently over the sleeping megacity. They stood hand in hand, watching the world wake. It wasn't the hills this time, or the echo of birdsong over tea fields. But the feeling was the same, because daylight didn't just belong to one place. It belonged to those who believed in alternate chances, in new onsets, in love that rose like the sun, every day, no matter the night that came ahead.